Microbeads, those little plastic beads you used to see in body wash and toothpaste, have been banned in the United States since last summer. Sherry Mason is one of the researchers responsible for that ban. She was the first to identify microbeads and microfibers in the world's largest freshwater system, the Great Lakes. She's one of the recipients of this year's Heinz Awards, and she spoke with 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed.
Start by explaining, what are microbeads and microfibers?
Well, both of these belong to kind of a bigger category, which is microplastics. So these are particles that are less than 1 millimeter in size, little pieces of plastic. In the case of microfibers, they come off of our clothes when we wash them. In the case of microbeads, as you pointed out, they were added to certain personal care products, face washes, body washes, toothpastes, with the intent of acting as an abrasive. Plastic is a really kind of unique material in multiple ways, but one of those is the fact that it doesn't biodegrade the way that natural materials do. So as the plastics kind of get broken up and become smaller and smaller and smaller, they still retain their properties. And that is the concern when it comes to microplastics.
How widespread are they in the water supply?
Really kind of every environmental compartment in the world that we've looked in. And we've gone to remote lakes in the middle of Mongolia, and we still find microplastics. They're just everywhere.
So why is it dangerous to have them in the water supply?
Well, I think, you know, probably a lot of us have maybe heard news of reports of large pieces of plastic and the impact that they have on aquatic organisms, right? So most recently, you hear a lot about like sperm whales beaching themselves and being euthanized, and their stomachs are filled with plastic bags. The concern with microplastics is a little bit different than that. We're not really concerned about the direct effects, that is an organism eating them and then dying as a result of that. We're more concerned about an indirect effect, and that is that when we manufacture plastics, we embed a lot of chemicals into them. These are plasticizers that make the plastics moldable, this UV stabilizers that help protect them from the damaging rays of sunlight, colorants, flame retardants. You know, there's just a kind of a plethora of chemicals that are embedded within them. And in addition to that, when plastics are out and in the external environment, they pick up chemicals, things like PCBs, polychlorinated biphenols, that were used as industrial insulators in the 1970s and were banned because of the known human health impacts. Polyaromatic hydrocarbons is another group of compounds that we found on microplastics that we've pulled out of the Great Lakes, and these come most notably from combustion processes like coal-fired power plants. And so you have all these chemicals in and on the plastics, and when the plastics are ingested, they then move those chemicals into the food supply and up the food supply ultimately into us. And as I kind of pointed out, many of these chemicals have known human health impacts. They're most notably endocrine disruptors. That means that they mimic hormones and can lead to a wide variety of impacts as a result of that.
So you talked about them getting into the food supply ingested by smaller animals and then larger animals and up the food chain. Do they also just end up in the water from our tap?
Yeah, actually, our research group last year published two pretty impactful studies, one looking at tap water, and then kind of as a result of tap water, another study looking at bottled water. And we found in both cases that there are microplastics within both tap and bottled water. Bottled water has considerably more than tap water, and within bottled water, it seems that they're really kind of originating from the act of packaging the water. That is the plastics that we found came that were associated with the caps and the bottles, and a significant portion of them had industrial lubricants on them. So it was actually the act of packaging the water that led to the plastic pollution within the water itself.
So I want to go back to this idea of endocrine disruptors that you brought up, and these are chemicals that disrupt the normal hormonal processes in our bodies, right?
Correct.
And I actually read an article in GQ recently. You may have read this. That was about decreasing fertility in men, and endocrine disruptors are believed to be responsible for that. So, I mean, are there potential long-term consequences to having these chemicals in our water, in our environment, in our bodies that we're not even considering?
Oh, absolutely. And sadly, this is one of the issues of science is that, you know, scientists tend to do their work in their labs and they publish in peer-reviewed journal articles. And the mass public isn't reading these kind of articles. And so this stuff has been, you know, pretty well documented over the past couple of decades, but is now just kind of slowly making its way kind of more into the public consciousness. And it's you know, from the standpoint of somebody who studies this, it's really scary. And I watch something like, you know, The Handmaid's Tale, and it's not that far gone. You know, we're kind of on the path of that.
For people who don't watch The Handmaid's Tale, the premise is that there's this epidemic of infertility, right, that leads to this, like, brutally patriarchal society.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And that is kind of where we're leading to. You know, these chemicals are known to have impacts on both men and female. For women, you know, it's leads to earlier onset of puberty, which later in life is kind of associated with or is associated with breast cancer, ovarian cancer. And for men, what we see is this kind of increased feminization of the male species. And so that's associated with lower sperm counts. And that leads to kind of increased concern with regard to the ability of our species to procreate.
So it's not all bad news, though, that we have seen some policy change as a result of this work, right?
Correct. And more to come, I think, you know, as a result of our tap and bottled water study, the World Health Organization has called for a human impact study to be done. And we really need that kind of science happening and becoming, you know, more public in order to create these bigger societal changes. So I look forward to kind of where we go from here. And you know, I don't think that the news is all dire. I think that, you know, we're hopefully kind of becoming aware of this early enough in the process that we can really kind of change our society and minimize kind of the impacts that this has on future generations.
I mean, what policy changes would you like to see in the future?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is extended corporate responsibility. So if industry is going to manufacture particular goods, they need to be responsible for making sure that those goods get disposed of properly. And this is kind of most often thought of with regard to electronics, right? So at least where I live in New York State, any electronic item can be returned to any place where those are sold, regardless of whether or not you bought them there, so that they can be recycled properly. And the intent of that is all the heavy metals that are associated with electronic goods and making sure that those don't end up in the external environment. And I'd like to see things like that with associated with plastics as well, in terms of, you know, the bags, the bottles, the straws, and so that those kind of disposable plastics don't end up being released into the external environment and all the kind of associated effects that can have on you know, all organisms, including us. So
what can regular folks do to address this problem?
I think the biggest thing is to start by looking at yourself and your own life, and does plastic make its way into your life, and is there a way that you can reduce your use of plastic? You always have to start with yourself, right? It's really easy to point your fingers at other people, but if you're not willing to make the changes, then you can't expect other people to as well.
Sherry Mason, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.